Well, it's good to be here again today with all of you. And a beautiful day to come out. And Bill and I enjoyed a little bit of the scenery. Beautiful day. And this morning, scripture is found in Daniel chapter 3, verses 19 to 30. And it's a long scripture, and I'm not going to read it all, but that's what we're going to look at today. And I remember when I was a little girl, we used to have a furnace and was up on the main floor out in our back porch. And I remember Dad would be out looking after it, and I remember going out there one day because I loved to be up right up into their face, you know, when mom and dad would be doing anything, I'd be right up. Mom would be up, and I'd be up to her face and cooking stuff. And of course, dad be out at the furnace. I'd be out to see what was going on. And so one day he was out at the furnace and he said, "You want to see the fire that's in the furnace?" I said, "What fire? There's no fire in the furnace." "Oh, yes," he said, "there's got to be a fire in the furnace." So I said, "Okay." He said, "Hold on now," he said. "When she cuts in, I'll show you the fire in the furnace." And so he lifted up the little lid because it was like a little pot. So he opened up the lid and I looked in, and sure enough, there was fire in the furnace. And that's the name of my sermon this morning, Fire in the Furnace. We have all heard of this story that we're going to look at in Daniel chapter 3, verses 19 to 30. It's about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we're going to see what they went through. There are lessons in this story. There are three lessons that we learn in this story. And it's to help us find and endure life's trials during at least these days that we're in now, the final days. There's help for all of us because we live in a world that is becoming increasingly unfriendly toward God, Jesus Christ, the Bible, Christianity, and the born-again believer. So we're going to journey back to ancient times, back to ancient Babylon, to a kingdom that was so unfriendly toward God and his ways. And we're going to look at these men with backbones of steel who would not bend, wouldn't bow. Oh, and didn't I mention they wouldn't burn? Let's watch them as they endure their fire in the furnace. Let's pray first, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today, this morning, to dig into your word, your holy scriptures. I ask, Father, that you would speak through me, to me, and for me. And Lord, that we will see that in times of fiery in the furnace, that they are times of great development in our souls. Now, Lord, have your way, I pray, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Three simple lessons in this passage of scripture that we're going to look at this morning. The first lesson: God's people are a persecuted people. And that's found in verses 19 to 23. Here we see old King Nebuchadnezzar. Oh man, is he ever angry toward three of these young Hebrew men. Why? Because they wouldn't bend, nor would they bow to an idol that the king had made of himself. It was an idol of pure gold. So what does he do? He orders them bound up and cast into a furnace, and it's heated 7 times hotter than normally heated. The fire is so hot. And let me tell you, when I saw the fire in my furnace, it was hot. I put my hand there and I had to take it away very quickly. And that was just a little bit. But it was so hot that day in Babylon, that furnace, that the men who tossed the three Hebrew children into the furnace were slain. Now, if we look at verses 9 to 18, we'll see the reasons for the king's actions. 9 to 18 is because it says here, "They spoke and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. But there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, when you're ready,'" so he's given them a second chance. "When you're ready," he says, "when the music sounds," he said, "you will fall down and worship the image which I have made good. But if you do not, you will be cast immediately into the midst of the fiery furnace. And who is this God who will deliver you from my hands?" Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." So Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward the three Hebrew children. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And then he said, "Cast them into the burning fiery furnace." So the king's actions are one of anger, persecution. So with these three men, they were these three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were persecuted because of their standards. Their faith in God would not allow them to stoop to the level as the pagans around them. In other words, their standards and manner of life made them different from the others around them today, of that day. And so it is with us, the born-again believer. We should be different. We should have a different standing of living from this world around us, as we are told in 2 Corinthians 6:17, Colossians 3:1-2. We need to take our stand in this world, our stand for God's holy word. That is our standard of living, God's word. In verses 13 to 15, we see they were persecuted because of their Savior. Nebuchadnezzar gave them a second chance. He knows why these boys are refusing to bow. And yet he mocks the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar implies that he is more powerful than the God they serve. He demands that they bow to his will instead of the will of God. Folks, we as born-again believers should walk in total submission to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be totally sold out to Jesus and his will. No halfway points, no compromise. No, well, I'll do that tomorrow, but I'll be this way today. No, it's totally sold out to Christ, 100%. He's to have first place in our lives. Let's just turn to Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 to 38. And these are the words of Christ himself, his own words, straight from his lips. Matthew chapter 10. Verses 37 to 38. Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." We are to be 100% sold out to Jesus Christ. Luke 14, verses 26 to 27. He says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Are we being persecuted by our for our standards and because of our Savior? In verses 16 and 18 of Daniel chapter 3, they are being persecuted because of their stand that they took. Even when threatened with a horrible death, these three men refused to bend or bow to the king's image of himself. They took their stand in spite of the personal cost. The true believer, as true believers, we should square our shoulders, stand ramrod straight, and take our stand for Jesus Christ. We are told to be totally committed to him in 1 Corinthians 15:58 and Luke 9:62. The furnaces of life, especially the furnace of persecution, they're no fun. However, they are good for us. As the furnaces of life help us become more like Jesus. Just as gold and silver are placed in the furnace and are purified through the process, persecution has the potential to remove the dross from our lives. However, when the Lord has sent you through a small furnace and seen the big results, he will allow us to go through a greater furnace somewhere down the road. So what am I saying? It's going to get worse. If we look at Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, God is basically saying, "Jeremiah, if you think it is bad now, you just stick with me and realize that things are about to get a whole lot worse." Now, that does not sound like much encouragement, does it? But we have to understand that this world cannot understand the Christian. We are a total mystery to these people who are lost, it's sad to say. They don't understand the way we live. They don't understand the things we do. They don't understand the love that we have for God's only Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our lives will bother them, and they are convicted by holiness in the life of us. They have a natural reaction to persecute believers in an attempt to have us conform to their way of living. If we are going to live for Jesus, yes, we will be persecuted, but it's the only way to live because this world is coming to an end. And if we don't take our stand for Jesus and live for him, we will not make heaven. The second lesson in this story is that God's people are a preserved people. Verses 24 to 27 of Daniel chapter 3. So let's go back to Daniel chapter 3. And that's the book right after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 3, 24 and 27. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Do we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king, but look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God." So you see, he knew. "Come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. Their hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. The three Hebrew men, God's people, are a preserved people. The three Hebrew men were cast into the fire, but an amazing thing happens. Instead of dying in the flames like they should have, like those men who threw them in just from the heat of the furnace were slain, instead of dying in the flames, they are loosed from their bonds and are walking around in the flames. Old Nebuchadnezzar could not believe his eyes and commands that they are to come out. They do totally unharmed, and they do. They come out totally unharmed by the violence of the flames. How could that be? How is that possible? Here's why. Number one, they were preserved by an ever-present God. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the flames, they found they were not alone. The God they had professed their faith in earlier met them in the furnace fire. Met them in the fire that was in the furnace. Isn't that awesome? What a wonderful Savior. The king and the others couldn't believe it. They threw in three men, but there are four people walking around in there. You know, here is a lesson for us that even in a furnace in Babylon, God kept his promise to his people. Isaiah 43:2, which is my favorite scripture of all time. But I'm just taking one verse. It says, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Brothers and sisters, we have that same promise now. And if God can do it for those three Hebrew children, just imagine what he can do for us. When the flames of life arise around us, we need to open our eyes, for Jesus is right there with us. What happened in that fire, in the furnace? Well, they were free in the fire. All the fire did was burn off the old ropes that held them bound together. When the fires of persecution and affliction come into our lives, we need to remember this truth. The fire just comes to burn away all the old dross, bad habits, attitudes. Yes, we have them. We are not perfect beings. When they come, we need to remember the Lord is freeing you. When the fires of life come, the Lord's freeing us from the things that we have had bound in our life. It burns away the ropes of besetting sins, attitudes, bad habits, etc. You'll find that we are freer in the fire than we were outside the fire. The fire has the power to set us free from the things that bind and hinder our walk with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't want anything to hinder my walk with him. I want to walk with Jesus now and all the way into the New Jerusalem. The three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were fine in the fire. The Bible tells us that they were not hurt. The fire did not kill them, not even burn them. God allowed them to go through the fire, but he did not allow the fire to go through them. Let me repeat that. God allows us to go through the fire, but he will not allow the fire to go through us. The lesson for us here is that although the furnace may be frightening, we are not brought to it for destruction, but for growth. God does not allow it for our hurt, but for our good. Romans 8:28. Let's just turn to Romans 8, chapter 28. And verse 28, Romans 8:28. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a future, give you joy. Oh, by the way, what happened to that fourth man that was in the fire that the king saw walking around in the fiery furnace? Because only three people came back out. So what happened to the fourth one? The fourth one we know was Jesus Christ. Well, what happened to him? Well, he's still in the furnace. So when we go there, we'll find him waiting for us. He will look at our flames and say, cool it. And he'll say that with all the calmness that he spoke that day on the waters of Galilee when he said, peace be still. He'll just say, cool it. The Hebrew men were preserved by the presence of God, and we will be too. No doubt about it. They were also preserved by an all-powerful God. When the men came out of the furnace, they were inspected by King Nebuchadnezzar and his men. And we are told that not a hair on their body were singed. There was no soot on them. And they didn't even smell like smoke. Now, you go anywhere. Can you picture those men sniffing? Can you picture the king and his satraps and the governors, and they go around sniffing these three Hebrew children? It's been a funny sight. But there was no smell on them. What a miracle. I mean, we can't even walk into a store or someplace where people are smoking without getting the smell of cigarette smoke on your clothes. But the power of God operated in the situation and overcame that furnace totally. You see, when God does something, he doesn't do it half-heartedly. He doesn't half do it or a quarter do it and say, okay, you gotta take care of the rest. No, when God does something, he goes all the way. When he heals completely. When he forgives completely. Whatever he does it all the way. He is all powerful and able to use that power in your life and my life because he's God. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He created the universe. Ephesians chapter 3 and 20. If we turn there, Ephesians 3 and 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. The pages in my Bible stick together. But Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." So when we find ourselves looking at a fiery furnace, and if you haven't had one, you will, just wait. It will come. Remember that we serve an all-powerful God who is able to keep you in times of affliction and who is able to bring us through for his glory. I like the old saying that I love to say it. If God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. The third lesson from this story is God's people are a promoted people. Verses 28 to 30. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, and we are looking at verses 28 to 30. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, and they should not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language that speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now the word promoted in my Bible, in translation, means caused to prosper. God's people are a promoted people. Everyone there that day came away with a greater understanding of who God was and what he could do. How could they not? The three Hebrew men did not know what God would do for them, but they trusted him anyway. The old king thought he was more powerful than God. But in the end, they all learned that God was greater and more powerful than the king. And what were the final results of the story? Well, first result was God's person is praised. In verse 29, an old pagan king exalts the true name, the true God, then exalts the name of Jesus Christ, the true God. Old King Nebuchadnezzar now sings things differently. And folks, as we pass through the furnaces of life, we are to lean on the grace of God to sustain us. It may be that God is using those times in our lives to show a lost world that he is God and that he is willing to help them. You know, we wonder why we go through so many trials. But I think of what Mordecai said to Esther. Maybe it is because God has placed you for such time as this. That's why we need to submit to the furnaces of life. And we need to trust God's grace to be sufficient, for it is. You know, when we go through things that we cannot understand, and we all have gone through them, and we all will continue to go through them, never complain, but ask God, Lord, what are you going to show me through this trial, through this persecution? What do I need to learn? Maybe as something that others will need to see. Yes, God is praised when we go through trials and we trust in him. And we sing, because you know, when we go through trials, that's the time God wants to hear us sing. What else came out of that? What else was the result? Well, God's people were promoted. Verse 30, because they were faithful to the Lord, they passed through the furnace. When we are faithful through God, and we honor him, and we honor his word, and we honor his Ten Commandments, and we honor Jesus the way that we should, then he is faithful to us. They were honored in the furnace, and they were promoted throughout the kingdom of Babylon. What is the lesson here for all of us is that God never really uses anyone in a great way until he first takes us through the fire of affliction. You cannot stand on Mount Carmel in power until you sighed by a dry brook in humility. You cannot lead the nation of Israel until you first watch someone's sheep in a wilderness. You can't become a nurse unless you go through the lessons of becoming a nurse. We are told of a story in Judges chapter 6 and 8, about a man called Gideon. He was the general with an army of 32,000 men. That's a lot of soldiers. We don't have that many here in Canada. 32,000 men. But 22,000 of those men left because they were afraid to face the enemy. So that left 10,000 men. And then, you know what happened to those 10,000? 9,700 of them were rejected by the Lord. So that left Gideon as a sergeant now with 300 men to fight the enemy. And then on top of all of that, Gideon hears the enemy calling him, comparing him to a cake of barley bread, which is equivalent to being called a dog biscuit. But what happened? What did Gideon do? Gideon went out and he fought those men, our enemy, with 300 men. And he won. The victory was won. Gideon won the victory. See, God took Gideon and used him to win a great victory. When God sends us through the furnace, it is not to hurt us, but to grow us. He sends us there because he is about to use our lives in a greater fashion than we could ever dream of. Brothers and sisters, a great lesson from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The things that are happening in this world, the trials that we are going through now with this COVID-19, other things that will come upon this earth, things will get worse. God tells us in his word. But he also tells us that if we stay with him, we take our stand. We stand ramrod straight and boldly and brazenly look in the face of Satan and say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. We take our stand for Jesus. We have nothing to lose. Yes, maybe come a day when we may lose our life because of that stand. But I can guarantee you, you will gain because Jesus, when he comes, will resurrect us. If we lived for him, he will resurrect us in new bodies that will never die. And I'd rather go through all the fiery furnaces down here so I can live forever in that beautiful new city that's talked about in Revelation, the New Jerusalem. You know, this past 7 years has been a lot of fiery furnaces for me. And I welcomed each one of them because I know through the fiery furnace, the very first place I turn to would be Jesus. He's there waiting. He's there waiting for you to come to him. And it doesn't matter what you face in life, whether it might be a small one or a big one or in between size. He's there for everything. So if you're passing through a furnace time today, let me encourage you to cling to the Lord. He is with you in whatever you are facing. And he has a plan to bring you through and use you for his glory. Still, you might need to come talk just to talk to him about your future. He knows more about your future than you ever will. And he has better plans for our future than we ever will. He's waiting. That's all. He's just waiting there for you to come. Let him in. Ask him into your life today. It will be the best thing you will ever do in your life is following Jesus, taking a stand for him and his holy word. You see, I've read the last chapter of this book, and we win. Those who follow this, we win. God wins. And if God wins, my friends, we win. There's a better time coming. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Focused on the Word. When the times of trials and the fire in the furnace hit you and your family, turn to Jesus. Don't blame him for the furnace. Thank him for it. Ask him to show you what he wants to show you and what you need to be in the furnace to prepare you for our heavenly home that John saw coming down, the beautiful pearly white city. God bless you this morning as we continue to serve him. Each and every day we take our stand. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Go straight down with the cross in front of us and Jesus Christ before us. May God bless you this morning as we serve him. And now let's close in prayer, shall we? Our benediction this morning is "Be courageous," is taken from Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that beautiful promise that no matter where we go in life, no matter where life takes us, no matter the things that will come our way, no matter the persecution, no matter the trials, that you are there with us in our furnace, in the fiery furnace, Lord. You are in the fire. And the only thing that fire will do will just burn off the old dross. It will burn away our attitudes, our bad attitudes. And Lord, it will prepare us. It is the refiner's fire, your fire, Lord, that we need. Now, Lord, be with each one of us as we go our separate ways this day. I pray, Father, that whatever the fires that come our way that will bring us closer to you, will bring us to our knees, and bring us to your holy scriptures. Use it for your glory. I pray this now, Lord, in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Amen and amen.